plan to refocus ourselves as a church family, because I think it's wise to take stock of where we might be individually, where we might be as a church family. Historically, I have tried to go through my day timer as the year ends, so I can see what God has done during the year. Sometimes, Sarah, that makes me very tired. I look at the year and say, why did I even begin this? Why don't I just put the day timer away and start a new year? But it's always good because it helps remind me of what we were able to do, good and bad, so to speak. And I thought about that, thinking, you know, I, like you, would tend to sit in front of a television and watch bowl games or munch, snack, graze, because it's that time of year. And there's always leftovers from Christmas, right? And there's always somebody's house to go over, where they've got better leftovers than you do. And you might even be smart just to take, you know, go to Walmart or BJ's or somewhere and bring over a tray of, like I've said before, just cheesecake, multiple varieties of it. And you'd be a hit of the party. But that doesn't prepare us for what's coming. And it's, again, natural to go downstream, just to go down the slide into the new year. I hate to say it, big, fat, and happy. Right? Big, fat, and happy. Because that's our natural tendency. But as believers, we're salmon swimming upstream. It never stops. The spiritual warfare never ends. Now, if you think I'm wrong, that really determines where your walk with the Lord is. Because if you think the Christian life is all about babiness and all about being an infant and being coddled and getting your milk and your diaper changed whenever it's necessary, that's not the Christian life. And I hope and pray that we develop biblically beyond that place of infancy so we can walk with the Lord and try to be a benefit to his kingdom while we're here. Therefore, as your pastor, as your coach, I will resist the temptation to allow you to convince me that less is better. Amen. That comfort is better. Oh, pastor, come on. Lay off, would you? What coach, Jess, would do that? What coach, Jeff, would allow their team to slack off before the finals? You might give them a day off to recover physically, but maybe the season's over. It's the 30th, preacher. I mean, seriously. Can't we have a day off? You did. It was called Christmas. We had church on Sunday. Candlelight service that night, you had Monday off, you had Tuesday off, we had church Wednesday, and here we are, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, having an end-of-the-year conference. Are you out of your mind? Yes, absolutely. So I'm glad you're part of the madness. And to help us with that madness, I've invited one of my very good friends from Cincinnati, Ohio, where it doesn't normally get this. Well, it gets cold. They have had periodically snow, not like we get historically. They get it periodically. And they get ice. We get ice storms. You know, they get cold and we get colder. So I invited Dale during the best time of year to come to Buffalo. And he agreed to be our consultant, and to take us to a place where we probably wouldn't be able to go ourselves. So I'm thankful Dale is here. I've known Dale a number of years. He's a great friend. Those of you that went to Milford, Ohio for the Loving and Leading Conference, raise your hand. One, two, three, four, five, six. Who are we missing? Okay. So we were there in October and the first few days of November. We loved it. And some of you might have had a tour through the print shop, and you might have seen the first press. John and Laura have been there already. They've been to El Paso, Texas, Bearing Precious Seed, El Paso. Jeff and Stephanie, El Paso, Texas, Bearing Precious Seed. Yeah. So I'm trying to get all of our Spanish folks to go, since it is a Spanish work. Right. So we'll see what we can do this coming year about that. So strap on. Dale is here. We Sunday school class was amazing. I don't know if I'm ever going to recover from the 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock hour. Thank you for our out-of-town guests being with us. And Dale, would you just, before you preach, does anybody have a bulletin? Our guests have a bulletin. Of course, our guests have a bulletin. They haven't been here for a year, so they want to figure out what's going on. But everybody that comes here doesn't have a bulletin. So we went through some statistics about the amount of money and missionaries going places. So I decided to just take our Sunday morning bulletin and go and highlight the green places where we as a church are ministering the Word of God and supporting missionaries to the 1040 window. My math says 31.8%. That includes you.
Amen.
Yeah. That includes you. 31.8%. Sorry? Is Togo in there? Raise that up. Togo, I forgot Togo, Africa is in that slot. So that makes our percentages a little bit higher. We're not doing this to brag, but I am trying to say, as the pastor, I'm trying to refocus and redirect our missionary and our missionary monies and our missionary efforts to the world that needs the gospel the most. And as we learned, 1 cent of every dollar of missions money goes to the most needful people in the world. At least in our church, over 32% of our missionary support goes there. Dale, welcome to Lancaster, New York on this beautiful sunny day. We're glad that you're here. Let's give him a welcome from Lancaster, New York. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, Pastor. It is great to be here again. And to be in your presence today. I don't know why he looked at me when he said, big, fat, and happy. I don't know why he looked over there at me. He glanced. I saw his eye. He looked over specifically. I caught that. And I don't understand it, but we have been able to eat a couple of places that would contribute to that, including this place, which we had a great meal last night and some snacks today, and you've really made me feel at home, and I'm grateful for that. Just to let you know, maybe you'll feel sorry for me, my wife and daughter, we all left on the same day. Now, she's not here with us. She went to South Carolina, where it's nice and sunny and warm and bright, and I'm here, and I don't get any, you don't feel sorry for me, I can tell. And so... And so it's pretty. And so anyway, we're grateful to be here today. And we are thankful. Take your Bibles with me and go to Mark chapter 1. Brother David, if you'll cue up that first video that I gave you about Nagaland, we're going to play that in just a moment. What I'm going to do is I'm going to read our text. I'm going to have a word of prayer. Brother David's going to play this very short video. And it introduces you a little bit to our ministry, but to a pastor in Northeast India named Peter Tumai, who is doing amazing work. And this is one of our partners that we work with. And I wanted you to see that this morning. So Mark chapter 1, the Bible says in verse 14, "Now after that, John was put in prison. Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, 'The time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel.'" Well, that's a great message to hear today. We could just park there for a while this morning. And the world needs the gospel. We need to hear the gospel. the gospel of the kingdom of God. He started preaching that in verse 14, verse 15, and saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Excuse me, repent ye and believe the gospel. Verse 16, now, as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. Father, thank you for your word, and thank you for what we've heard so far. Thank you that, Lord, our singing today was in multiple languages. What a blessing that is. And I pray that you are honored. Lord, language is not a barrier to you. It is to me. It is a barrier to me, but it is not to you. And Lord, I've been in different countries of the world where people have confessed Jesus Christ after the preaching of your word in their language. And though I couldn't understand it, Lord, you knew it perfectly. And Lord, so we worship you today and we're thankful for it. Lord, hide me behind the cross. I need your strength today. I'm not able, but I'm willing. And I pray that you'd use me as a mouthpiece today. Glorify yourself. Thank you for this church. In Jesus' name, amen. David? Thank you very much.
First Bible International works in and around the 1040 window in order to affect its billions of unreached people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Working with various translation teams, they help to bring people groups their first ever Bible in their very own language. Additionally, First Bible International trains nationals in theological matters and coordinates with sound local church leadership in order to reach further into the 1040 window. Pastor Peter is a local contact from India. His ministry reaches far beyond Nagaland and into several closed countries.
My name is Peter Tumai. I'm from All Nation Baptist Church. I'm training church planters to send into Bhutan and Burma, Bangladesh, and we are working with many church planters over there and continue training young people for the church planting ministry in the closed countries. Gospel in 1040 windows is not reaching. And then for Nagas, it is okay to go to Bhutan and Tibet, China, Bangladesh, and many parts of these 1040 windows, which is called closed country, but it is not closed for us, that we can go in, distribute Bible, and preach the Word of God and plant the churches. And we surely need Bible to give out to these people. Because in the Great Commission of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is said, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel. So, this 1040 windows is also in the world, and in this 1040 windows, there are billions of people living in it, and they need to hear the gospel. And when we preach the gospel, some people think that these people will not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But when we preach the gospel, the power of the gospel changed their life. And several hundred people have come to the Lord in short years of our ministry. And in Bhutan, in short years of our ministry, we have planted more than 50 Baptist churches in Bhutan. And these people need to hear the gospel. And people are hungry and thirsty for the word of God. These people come from different places to attend a house church, underground church. They bring their, you know, bed seats and writing the scriptures on the bed seat, spread on the wall, and then they bring their songs in the bed seat and read their songs and spread on the wall. So sometimes they cannot carry the Bible freely, but they are hungry and thirsty for the Word of God. So if Americans and Baptists can help these people, you know, to quench the thirst for the Word of God and hunger for the Word of God, this will be a great blessing. Because in the plan of the Lord Jesus Christ, these people who are in 1040 windows are also included. And the Bible say in heaven, there will be from all kindreds and for all tribe, from all nations and from all tongues. And these people need the gospel to fulfill the great commission of the Lord Jesus Christ.
All right, let me get you up to speed. We have been talking about reaching someone who is unreached today. We started that last night, and we talked about being able to reach them. And they're over here, imaginary. They're over in this area, and we want to reach people who are unreached with the gospel, that's not been reached. Now, that could be a person down the street. It could be a person in your neighborhood. It could be a person right where you work that is unreached with the gospel. I was reminded about that today. I talked about all the unreached people groups in the 1040 window, but there's unreached people groups right here. There is people that not only as a people group who have not been reached, but there are people who have not been reached. Okay? So our goal as Christians is to reach them. Take the gospel from where we are to them. And we looked this morning in Sunday school about how Jesus was trying to get the gospel to a group of people. One of the people or people groups that he went to was the demoniac of Gadara. We looked at that in Sunday school. He was on a journey in Mark chapter 1. He started his public ministry. He was baptized of John. He started his public ministry and started preaching the kingdom of God. And he was on a journey to reach different people around him in his time of ministry, but then to propel his ministry to generations to come. And so we saw that he, through the scriptures, we can read different people that he went to and he went by and he reached and he went over here and he went over there, and we can see those. But we focused on this person, the demoniac of Gadara, because we looked at him as an unreached people group. Someone that somebody had to come out of their culture to come into his culture to bring the message of hope to him so that he could have a chance. And what happened was, now this is interesting. What happened was, is when the maniac of Gadara met Christ and Christ transformed his life and a miracle happened right there, the maniac said, I want to come with you. Man, I want to come with you. I want to be a part of what you're doing. I want to learn from you. And the Lord says, no, thank you. I don't need you with me, personally. He was still with him, but not physically. He says, I don't need you with me. They need you with them. And so he left the maniac of Gadara, which was out of that culture and amongst that people group and knew their culture and knew their language and knew their everything, and left someone that now knew Christ with them. And so Christ went on, and he stayed. And that people group now had a light. One light, one little light. But oh, what a difference that light must have made. What a transforming light. And so we talked about Jesus in Mark chapter 1 going on a journey to meet this man of Gadara and others, but there were hurdles that he had to cross over. There were obstacles in his way. And there's obstacles in our way today. If we're going to reach maybe those in our community, those in our neighborhood, those in our state, those in our country, those in the world, all these hurdles you'll have to overcome to get there. Are you with me this morning? You have to overcome these specific hurdles that we're going to talk about. We talked about the wilderness last night. Mark chapter 1, Jesus was driven by the Spirit into the wilderness. And I'll recap that for you. Jesus spent time in the wilderness. And if He's going to spend time in the wilderness, so are you. There's wilderness times in your life, and we're going into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness. He not only was in the wilderness, but He experienced trials in the wilderness. Do you understand that? It just wasn't He was there hanging out, but He experienced trials and difficulties and temptations and all the things that we may experience in the wilderness. But Jesus triumphed in the wilderness. He not only spent time in there, He not only had trials in the wilderness, but He triumphed over the wilderness. We talked about that last night. And His triumph over the wilderness, we said, allowed Him the opportunity to cross the other hurdles that were in His way to the maniac of Gadara, the woman at the well, Zacchaeus, Nicodemus, all the people that He personally reached. After that, He overcame all of these hurdles. If Jesus would never have got out of the wilderness of His life, He never made it. He never been able to minister. If He couldn't get over His troubles, if He couldn't get victory over His issues, He sure couldn't help anybody else. I mean, who could have helped the maniac of Gadara? Someone that was victorious in their wilderness because He was in a deep one. And so He overcame those wildernesses. Can I make this statement before I give you the second hurdle? There's two things that the devil would like to see happen while you're in the wilderness. Two things. Let me give them to you real quick. He'd like you to question God's Word. This wilderness time is a time where you're going to start questioning the Bible. The other thing that he would like to see happen in this time, not only to question the Word of God, he'd like to see you quit. He'd like to see you quit as a Christian in this wilderness time. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory. He was victorious and so can I. It doesn't matter what your wilderness is, no matter where you've been in your life, no matter what's transpired in your life, you can get victory in Jesus Christ. Now, you may not ever get away from a wilderness, but you can have victory in it. Okay? And so that is the hurdle. Now, today I want to give you the second hurdle this morning. But I want to ask you a question. And I need everybody to pay attention real quickly. Are you paying attention? Because I really need to ask this question. And I need everybody's... I need you to be really focused, okay? I need you to be really listening. This is an important question and I need to know this answer. For us to go on, this is important. Let me ask you this question. How many of you get upset when they ask what flavor of Frosty you like at the drive-thru window? That's a great question. How many of you get upset when they say, when you ask for a Frosty at Wendy's, and they say, what flavor would you like? How many of you get upset about that? You don't have to raise your hand. I do. Because there ain't but one flavor Frosty. And you know what it is? It's chocolate. I don't know what that other flavor is. But I like chocolate. And that's the original Frosty. You say, Brother Money, that's silly. Well, I'm going to give you the next hurdle, and it's not Frosties. Because I'm pretty good at those. You have to have victory in the wilderness. If we are going to take what we've learned today and this year and go into the next year and reach people that are unreached with the gospel, whether in our neighborhood or around the world, it's the same principle. We must be victorious in the wildernesses. And we must be successful in transitions. Change. You say, what are you so mad about a Frosty for? Well, it's a change. It's a change. And people do not like change. But you know what? If people that aren't reached are ever going to be reached, we got to change. If somebody that doesn't have the gospel is going to get it, something's going to have to happen within me and within you, and we're going to have to be successful in our transitions, in our change. I want to give you some things today that would help us. Let me give you this statement, and I want to look back into the Scripture. Let's look back into the Scripture, and I'll give you the statement. The Bible says in verse number 14, now after that, he's talking about the wilderness. He gets out of the wilderness. He was victorious in that wilderness. And he says that in verse 14, now after that, John was put into prison. Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. You know what happened in that verse? Change. John the Baptist, who was the man of the hour, was now put into prison. And Jesus starts his earthly ministry. You know what that is? It's change. It's change. And we need to recognize that. There was a shifting going on. There was change that needed to happen. If the gospel was going to reach these people over here, there needed to be change. And we're not always comfortable with that. Let me give you this statement. Change is only as beneficial as our response is to it. Okay, let me say that again. Change is only as beneficial as our response is to it. If we respond adversely to the change, then the change isn't going to matter to us. It's not going to make a difference in us. It's not going to make a difference in the world. Now we're talking about the things of God. We're not talking about Frosties anymore. We're talking about the things of God. And this change, if it's going to take effect, I'm going to have to respond correctly to it. Now, let's look at our passage today, and we're talking about, let me briefly mention this. We're talking about words that changed everything. Words that changed everything. These words that Christ said to the disciples, come ye after me and I will make you to become fishers of men, was a words of change, and those words changed everything. They changed everything. They turned these disciples' worlds upside down. Come ye after me. Change, and I will make you to become change, fishers of men, change. And because of a change in their life, the gospel went forward. You see it? The gospel will not get here until we can cross over change, transitions. I know. We don't like it. Now, can I say this? Can I inform you this morning? I'm not saying we're changing Bibles. Okay? That doesn't change. The Word of God doesn't change. Our standards aren't changing. We ought not to lower our standards of the gospel. So I'm not talking about that type of a change. I'm not talking about giving a watered-down version of the gospel. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about change right here. This has got to change. This has to change for the world to be reached. This has to change for God to use. This has to change for the gospel to go forward. I'm not saying God's going to change. I'm not saying that God's plan's going to change. I'm not saying God's word's going to change. I'm saying we got to change. Amen? Are you with me today? Do you understand? And so there had to be some change, and we're going to see that. You go through you read through the gospel, you read through the book of Mark, you read through your Bible, and you mark down every time there's a change. And it's all over the place. It's all over the place. Daniel changed locations. There was a change. Noah, there was a change. Abraham, there was a change. Sarah, there was a change. There was a transition, there was a difference. And depending on how we handle it when it comes will determine how far the gospel is going to go. And so transition or change is important in our Christian life, but it's a hurdle in our way that we must overcome and be able to accept the change that God does in our life, that God does in our church, so that the gospel can go forward and we're not stumped. We're not held up. We're not held back, so that we can get closer and closer and closer to freely giving the gospel to those who are without it today. So let me give you this morning. Let me give you this thought. Sometimes, this would be Roman numeral one in my notes, if I can be polite this morning. Sometimes God must change personnel so that the unreached can be reached. Sometimes God has to change personnel so that the unreached can be reached. Let me explain. There is people change. This is the who. If there's going to be unreached reached this coming year, there might need to be a personnel change. Or a change in a personnel, in a person. Sometimes God must change personnel so that the unreached can be reached. John the Baptist, here in our story, he was clearly the voice of God in his day and was doing a great job until his time was fulfilled. You see, God has a plan. And we're a part of God's plan, thank God. But we're not the center of God's plan. John the Baptist was used greatly of God. But all of a sudden, he's put in prison. And he would soon be executed. Be off the scene. I mean, here is God's landmark person. I mean, he's out there. He's been preaching. He stood up. I mean, it's been silent for 400 years. And God starts speaking through this man. And before he reaches 30-ish, he's gone, off the scene, wiped out. This had to be shocking to everybody. It had to be shocking to those people that followed him, to those that were baptized of him, the ones that saw him and heard him and heard the power of God go through him. They must have been shocked that he was gone. Consider the fact, think about this for a minute. God traded a seasoned veteran for 12 rookies. I mean, these were rookies. He removed a man with a proven track record with off-the-chart results and replaced him with a group of inexperienced, untested, rough around the corners, hard-hearted, knotheads that didn't seem to get it. They didn't. Even up to after the cross, he said, "Why is your heart still hardened?" He upbraided them for their hardness of heart. They were knotheads. You know what that feels like? I do. I'm a knothead. He traded the seasoned veteran for 12 knotheads. But God had a plan. And to be able to take the gospel beyond John, it wasn't John was doing a bad job. It wasn't that John wasn't doing his thing. It's just he wasn't the vessel God needed to reach the world. So sometimes there must be a personnel change. change of personnel is often difficult to understand at the moment, but it's important for us to embrace the Spirit-led change with submission and confidence. Jesus submitted to the change of the Father. We don't, in our ranks, and can I just make this statement? In our ranks, we don't look much at transition. We don't. We think that we're going to be here forever, and we're just going to do what we're doing till we die, and somebody else is going to have to pick up the pieces. Can I ask you a question? Is what you do, your service for the Lord, whatever that is it important enough to invest into someone else so that there's someone there when you need to transition out? Or are you doing something I can't say unimportant? You say, well, I'm a prayer warrior. Well, do you have somebody in the prayer closet with you that you're training so that they can be a prayer warrior? Can you duplicate yourself? You say, I hold the door open at the church and I welcome people and hand them a bulletin. Well, why don't you get a kid or someone in the church, and why don't you do it together? And why don't you invest in them? And why don't you train them? Because guess what? You're not going to be there all the time, and God may move you tomorrow. And who's going to take your spot? We have to focus on transition. Jesus, listen to me. Jesus started His earthly ministry in verse number 14. And in verse number 16, He was already working on transitioning out. Two verses. He was already calling people so He can invest in and train them and teach them and bring them along. They didn't do a whole lot for 3.5 years. They really didn't. Oh, He gave them some power to go cast out some devils and things like that, but they even failed there. They didn't do a whole lot till He was gone. And then things start picking up. But guess what? Jesus started preparing for change, for transition, two verses after, or one verse after He started His own public ministry. I think we've got to understand there's got to be some, we've got to be able to handle change, but we've got to prepare for it. You understand that? We not only have to handle the change in our life, and again, I'm not talking about biblical doctrinal things. I'm talking about changing so that the gospel can go further. And sometimes God has to change personnel. Are you ready for that? Are you preparing for that? Because that personnel might be you. I'm not talking about you dying. And it could be. But God may move you tomorrow. God may put you out of commission tomorrow. And somebody's got to fill your spot. So that means I not only have to adjust to change, I have to prepare for it. And so sometimes God has to change personnel. And in this same thought of changing personnel, let me give you this. Go to John chapter 3, verse 30. Jesus was preparing for it, but so was John. And I'll show you. This is an amazing verse. It would be good for you to think long and hard on this. We know this verse, and we think of it in one perspective. John chapter 3, verse 30. John says, in his own words, He must increase, but I must decrease. You know what he's saying? Is I know transition. I know change is here. I know that it's my time to step back. I know that it's my time to hand over the reins. He must increase and I must decrease. That was just not a verse that said he needs to be exalted. It was saying there's a transition coming and I'm ready for it. Are you ready? You say, I'm 12. Well, number one, who are you training? And whose place are you taking? You say, I'm 60. Well, who are you training? And whose place are you taking? We have to face change to be able to get the unreached, the gospel. And you say, for the money, I don't care what you're talking about. I don't know what you're talking about. That's fine. But some of you do. Because there needs to be change. The change in your life might be, I just need to read my Bible every day. That'd be a good change. Maybe your change needs to be, I need to not be a Sunday morning churchgoer. I need to be a Sunday morning and a Sunday night goer. Maybe that's the change that needs to happen so the gospel gets closer. But are you ready for a change? If the unreached is going to be reached, and that the words, these words, are going to change people's lives, we better brace ourselves for change. Change is a good thing, not a bad thing, if it's done by the Spirit of God, no doubt. We see a change in personnel, but we see a change in purpose. John was the forerunner of Christ, and that was needed. That was the purpose at that time. But it changed. The disciples were the ones that turned the world upside down. They were the ones that turned the world upside down, not John the Baptist. John the Baptist's purpose was to be the forerunner. The disciples came in and Jesus invested them and they turned the world upside down. But a change had to happen. I'll make you to become fishers of men. A change. And so purpose. Sometimes God's purpose changes so that the unreached can be reached. Let me give you this real quickly. Sometimes God must change plans. Okay, change personnel. Now, sometimes He has to change plans or the course. When He changes personnel, that's the who. God may be blowing in a change in your life that changes the where. That's plans. That's the course. For God to get the gospel to those that don't have the Scriptures, it may be that God wants to change your job. He wants to take the job you have out from under your feet and put you somewhere else. It might be a health issue. There might be a doctor or a nurse or another family that needs somebody, and they're in a hospital or a doctor's office, and he may cause something in your life and put you there. Are you willing to make that change so that the unreached can be reached? We have to think of it that way, don't we? God's plans for our life is perfect, but they're not always fixed to my plans. And so sometimes God must change plans or our course so that the unreached can be reached. A change of direction. It is important to understand that though the mission always stays the same, the plans may change. They're all subject to change. They're all subject to change. The Good Samaritan. Think about it. He was on the way somewhere on his journey. He was going somewhere. Well, the Levite and the priest was too. The Levite went through and he said, I'm not changing my plans for him. The priest went through and said, I'm not changing my plans for him. This is the plan. This is where I'm going. This is what I'm supposed to do. And I'm not changing my plans. You know what the Samaritan said? My plans can change. My plans can change. My plans aren't so rigid that I have to go here to there. You might be coming to church one day and your plans change. No, I'm getting to church. I'm not going to be late. I'm going to get there. Well, what if it changes? What if God decides to put somebody in your way? Are you willing to make the change? I'm just saying, folks. I'm just telling you that this is a process. Christ went through it. Christ shows us this process. If we're going to reach those that aren't reached, we got to go. We got to be victorious in the wilderness. We got to be successful in change. Okay? Change of direction. Jesus said, I must needs go through Samaria. You know what that was? Change plans. Because the culture said, you don't go to them. The culture said, the Samaritans, we go around them. That's what culture says. Well, maybe you need to change culture. Jesus did. Paul was going to Asia. Is that a bad thing? No. The gospel needs to go to Asia. Paul was going to Asia, but God had a different plan. He said, I got somebody that's praying. And he needs you. It's a Macedonian call. So a change of direction, a change in profession. Again, folks, whose plans are they? They're God's. You're bought with a price, by the way, right? If you're bought with a price, you're not your own. And so if God wants to change your course, you need to be willing to take it, to go. Might be a change in direction. It might be a change in profession. These men, these disciples, they seem to be content with their livelihood, being fishermen. And they didn't seem to have any plans to change. Their blue-collar career had provided security for the day and their future of taking over their father's business seemed bright. However, change was on the way. When Jesus said, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. These words changed everything. They changed everything, changed their profession. Can I say this morning? We might need to change our livelihood for the unreached to be reached. We might have to change our lifestyle for the unreached to be reached. You may have to alter something in your lifestyle. You may have to give up something. You might have to stay away from something. You may have to cling to something. You may have to put something in your life so that the unreached can be reached. Your livelihood may need to change. Your lifestyle may need to change. And your location might need to change for the unreached to be reached. Are you ready for a change? Are you ready for a change? This morning in Sunday school, I had all these statistics and all these people that's not been reached and millions and billions of people and thousands of people groups and Bibles. And it's overwhelming. But maybe one change will help. Maybe one change. Maybe two changes. Say, God, what do I need to change in my life? It might be you need to turn off the TV for an extra hour and spend 15 minutes in prayer. But I can tell you what, if we continue to do what we're doing, we'll continue to get what we got. Right? So there must be change. The unreached, for the unreached to be reached, might have to change our livelihood, might have to change our lifestyle, might have to change our location But something about our current condition must change if we're going to reach more in 2019 than we did in 2018. Can I say this in closing? Sometimes God must change our procedures for the unreached to be reached. Our procedures, that's the what. We saw the who, the where. This is the what. Procedures is an established way of doing things. A synonym of that word might include a course of action, a plan of action, a strategy, a policy, a method, an approach. We might have to change our approach so that the unreached can be reached this year. Well, our current approach is we sit here and we wait till they come in the door. I don't think that's your approach here, but I'm just saying, you know, in a simple way. Well, maybe our approach needs to be I go outside the door and I go to somebody else. Maybe I go to them. I could take you through illustration through illustration and illustration of how there's change of procedure. You know what? In the Old Testament, they used to come to the tabernacle. In the New Testament, they were to go to them. In the Old Testament, they made sacrifices. In the New Testament, Jesus is a sacrifice. There's a change. And so, there might need to be a change in our strategy. Strategy changes. Let me say this. Strategy changes as more people had light. You know, I told you this morning that we printed the Word of God, but we got more light. And now we're in an expanded area of reaching unreached people groups because we have more light. Again, I didn't say drop your standards. I didn't say act like a lunatic or a nut. I'm saying be different because you're a Christian. And the Bible gives us what we need. I'll close with that. Are you ready for a change? Are you victorious in your wilderness? It's a hurdle. Are you successful in transition in your change? Lord, whatever you want to do in my life, whatever needs to change, I'm willing. Because there's people that don't have what I've had. People don't have a Bible like I have. People don't have the gospel like I have. People don't have a good pastor and wife like we have. We need to do something about it. Are you ready for a change? Would you change if God asked you to? Are we so bent? I'm just going to... I've never left my county and I never will. Praise God. Get out of the way. Get out of the way. Because if you're not ready to transition, if you're not ready to change, when you die, it's all going to change. Eventually, it's all going to change. I'm just saying, I don't want to be mean. I don't want to be unkind. Are you ready for God to make a change in your life so that the unreached can be reached? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the time, for your goodness. And Lord, I know this might be out there. I don't know. Lord, it's in your word and you showed it to me and I believe it. And Lord, there's some things in my own life. I gotta get changed. They're going to be altered. I got to not only prepare for change now, but I got to adjust to change now. I got to prepare for change later. I got to invest in people and train people and pour my life in other people. Discipleship doesn't end with a 12-week lesson plan. It doesn't end with a one-year Bible study. It's putting your life in somebody else so that you can duplicate yourself. And Lord, we saw that. And Lord, for your words to change everything, we got to receive it. Thank you for the time. We love you in Christ's name. Amen. Pastor.
last time we talked about this chair, wilderness chair, that if we can't successfully navigate, that doesn't necessarily mean we've arrived, but we need to navigate within that context. We talked about his wife having MS. We have a couple from Iowa that visit about once a month with a special needs child, Gracie. They have to navigate within the context. Because change is coming. Like it or not, change is coming. School, work, health, finances, relationships. Jennifer, change is coming. I know you've experienced that. Are we going to be successful in the transition? I became passionate. I wasn't passionate before. I'm telling you, it was a difficult, difficult change. I'm never going to change. You know people like that, right? Mm-hmm. I was born a blank, I'm going to stay a blank. You know people like that? You mm-hmm. try to witness it out. Mm-hmm. Brother, you're wasting your time on me. There's mm. why. If your resume is the same, hasn't changed in, where's that? Hasn't changed in 35 years, you need to change. You need to talk to Dale. Dale used to work at a nuclear power plant for 11 years. You guys need to talk. But God's in the change business. Therefore, your resume might look colorful. Different. Spiritually speaking, you might have the same job, but this is really important. I guess the most important question is, Lord, what do I need to change? Not what do you need to change. What do I need to change? God knows what you need. God knows. And God will reveal it to you as soon as you say, what do I need to change? What will you change through me if I acknowledge the fact that work needs to be done? Construction zone, work in progress. That's where we are. So, this is the seat of change. If you're in the invitation, you need to sit here. Literally speaking, you can. That might be out of your comfort zone. Pun intended. But if you need to sit in this seat during the invitation, have at it. Because that's what it's really all about. Where's John? Stand with me for a second. Follow the invitation. Don't wait for the invitation. Don't wait for somebody to beg you to come forward. If you need to pray, do so. Just be obedient.
Just obey the Lord.